Mark chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I like that. Amen. There were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we pray today that you'll bless us. We pray today that you'll speak to us from the Word of God, that you'll help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you for this pastor and his family, and we pray that you'll bless them through this week, and Lord, encourage them and strengthen them, and we thank you for this church. And oh God, we ask that you'll send a great revival. Lord, that you'll revive the hearts of every man, every woman, every child, Lord, every home that's represented. Oh God, we trust you today. We know that you know exactly what we have need of. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to your calling, truth to Scripture. Help us to say and do everything that you would have us to. Help us to preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and not in the arrogancy of the flesh. Lord, we pray everything said and done here today would bring glory and honor and praise to your name. Amen. May be seated. I believe that it should never be the intention, the goal, the aim, the purpose of any church to make a name for themselves. I believe that every church should want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Bentonville Baptist Church ought to be a church that preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that this church ought to be known for a church that praises the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe that this church ought to be a church where Christ is present. Amen. I believe that this ought to be a church that presents Christ to the community. I believe that Bentonville Baptist Church, every local church, ought to be a church that proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ and can say that Jesus is in the house.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that you could say Jesus is in the house if you got the house right and you got your hearts right. Amen.
Amen.
We need to understand that without the Lord Jesus, we're wasting our time meeting here. Amen. Amen. If Jesus is not in the house on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, then we're wasting our time. If Jesus is not in the house today or this week, then we might as well pack it up and go to the house. Amen. We're wasting our time. Unfortunately, I have to say that Jesus is not always in the house of God concerning local churches. Amen. If you read over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verse number 20, the Lord speaks to the church at Laodicea and He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." I believe that that is where the Lord Jesus is in most modern day churches. See, with the church at Laodicea, Jesus had been excommunicated. Amen? They put him out of the church. I believe most churches are like that today. Instead of getting the sin out, they try to get the Savior out. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And so he's standing on the outside and he's trying to get in. He wants to get in. He will not force his way in, but he's knocking and he's seeking entrance. And I believe it's up to you and I to open the door. Amen? Amen. If we let him in, I believe that he'll come in and he'll bless us. I believe that he is outside and knocking and desiring for anyone to let him in today. What I want to preach on this morning is when Jesus is in the house. I want you to notice several things in the text. If you'll listen fast, I'll try to preach fast. Y'all got food over there. Is that right? Alright, so just get your mind off the food for just a bit and get your mind on this food. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, first of all, I want you to notice that there will be publicity. In verse number 1, it says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." When Jesus is present, word will get out. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, you will not be able to keep it in, hold it in. You'll not be able to help it. Word will get out. Amen. I believe when Jesus is in the house, the members of the church will go home and they'll tell other family members, "Hey, Jesus was in the house today and you ought to come see." Amen. I believe when Jesus is present, that the members of the church will go to work on Monday morning and they'll let their co-workers know that Jesus was in the house. Amen. Word will get out. You will not be able to hold it in. Can you say amen? There will be publicity. Now I have to say, Brother Willie, I don't know a whole lot about how Brother Willie does and what Brother Willie does, but I'll have to say this. I believe that you and I, as God's churches and Christians, we do not need the world's promotions to get the word out. You and I do not need the world's publications to get the word out. You and I do not need the world's programs to get the word out. All you and I need to do is to make some noise and let folks know that Jesus is in the house. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, I believe that there is nothing that will take the place of God's people spreading the word that Jesus is in the house firsthand. Amen. I believe when the Lord is in the house, when He's present, I believe that you'll leave this place and you'll not be able to resist but talk about the Lord and tell other folks, "Jesus blessed me today. Jesus spoke to me today. He touched me today. Jesus was in the house. He was working today. I saw His presence. I saw Him working." When Jesus is in the house, there'll be publicity. Amen? I want you to notice in verse number 2, when Jesus... Can I drink this water? I didn't want to drink it after anybody. In verse number 2, I want you to notice when Jesus is in the house, not only will there be publicity, but there will be people. When Jesus is in the house, people will come. Amen. See, I believe this. I believe if you could get this church right today, I believe if you could get your hearts right today, I believe that you can pack this building out every single night. Amen. Every single service. Amen. I believe what you and I need is the Lord Jesus. You say, well, people don't like Jesus. People don't believe in Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if Jesus is in the house, people will come. I want you to notice it says in verse number 2, and straightway, it's the same word as the word immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. I mean, all of a sudden, word got out. Jesus came to town, and he went into a house. We don't know whose house it was. We don't know who owned the house. Now, I have an idea, Brother Willie, of who owned it. I believe that it was probably Peter's house. Now, you can take that or leave that. I'll not debate that with you, but that doesn't really even matter. Amen? It doesn't name the house owner. It doesn't tell us what house it was, but Jesus came to town, and he was in a certain house, and word got out. Everybody was running down the middle of town saying, hey, Jesus is in the house. They'd say, what house? Whose house is it? They'd say, we don't know. But if you'll just take a right here and go straight, you'll find Jesus in the house down there. And so word got to spreading, and people started coming. And I mean, they packed the house. We don't know how big of a house it was. We don't know if it was a two-story house. We don't know if it was a three-story house, if it was a big house, if it was a little house. But it says there was no room, even as about the door. I believe that people were piled in all around the Lord Jesus. They wanted to get there. They wanted to see him. They couldn't even get into the door. There were so many people. Wouldn't that be a blessing to have to put chairs out this week? Amen. I mean, just to squeeze everybody in, that'd be a blessing, amen. You say that'd be awful uncomfortable to be. Well, you just stay at home and make room for somebody else to come, amen. I believe it'd be an awesome thing to be able to put chairs out and pack people in the house of God, amen. I believe if you'd get the word out, if you'd make some noise, maybe you could get some people to come, amen. When Jesus is in the house, I believe people will come. I believe they were standing all around the house. I believe they were trying to look in the windows. Somebody was trying to get a peek. They wanted to see who this Jesus was. Somebody was trying to get close enough so that they could hear a word from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that people will come out when Jesus is in the house. Can you say amen? I believe, number one, that Christ, he draws attention. But he draws attention from all sorts of people. In John chapter number 12 and verse 32, he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. What you and I need to do is start lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. What you and I need to do is start making some noise and watch the people come. I believe the condemned will come. I believe the corrupt will come. I believe those that want to hinder and those that want to hurt will come. Can you say amen? I believe the crippled, they'll come as well. Can you say amen? Again, I want you to notice, it doesn't say whose house it was. It just says Jesus was in the house and many started coming. It didn't say it was Peter's house. It didn't say it was Eddie's house. This is not Willie's house. This is not your house. Amen. It wasn't even about the house. It's not about me. It's not about you. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ draws attention. Curious followers. They'll come, but they will not stay. Y'all ever had any of those kind of folks? You know, when the church gets on fire, when Jesus is in the house, people will start coming. You know, the church starts hopping. Every church has those seasons. You know, things start moving. The church starts growing, and people will come out of the woodworks. People that you've never seen before, people that you've never met, and they'll say, "We just want to come see what was going on up there." Amen. That's the way it is. But there are some folks, they'll come. They're sort of like leeches. They'll come and they'll stay as long as the handouts keep going out. Amen. They'll come and they'll stay until the church cools down. Hey, listen, I pastored a church up in Laurel, Mississippi. And when I went there, they had an old preacher that was attending the church. He wasn't a member of the church. I found out later on that this preacher had probably been a member of this particular church 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. I don't know how many times. But he'd come to the church and then he'd leave the church. He'd come to the church and he'd leave the church. While I was there, he joined at least 2 times. One time I told him I didn't want him to even join. Can you say amen? What happened is when he started to disagree with me, when he no longer liked me, when I no longer fit his fancy, he decided to leave and go somewhere else. And then after a while, we'd have another season. And we started growing again, and the church started hopping again. And here comes this preacher. And I let everybody in the church know he was a family member of a lot of folks in that church. I said, I don't want him in this church. I don't want him to be a member of this church. And the Lord said, you just need to be quiet. Say amen. And I'll take care of him. And finally he started coming back and he just said, I want to see what's going on again up here. And he come up to shake my hand and maybe word got to him or the Lord got to him. And he said, Brother Eddie, we didn't come here to cause any trouble. I said, I don't want any trouble. Can you say amen? But listen, what I'm saying is, I believe all sorts of people will come when Jesus is in the house, but the curious followers will not stay. Don't be disheartened about that. Amen. When everything cools down, when the handouts stop, they'll be gone. Christ will draw attention. Curious followers will not stay. But I believe that the consecrated followers, they will remain faithful. Amen. I mean, the core of the church is always there. They're there Sunday morning. They're there Sunday night. They're there on Wednesday night. They'll be at every meeting of a revival meeting or any other kind of meeting. Amen. The faithful will stay. Those that are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll stay faithful. I believe when Jesus is in the house, there'll be people. I want you to notice also in verse number 2 that there will be preaching when Jesus is in the house. The Bible says, and he preached the word unto them. He didn't preach some philosophical word. He didn't preach some scientific word. He didn't preach some political word. He didn't preach, on global warming. The Bible said he preached the word. The living word. He was preaching the written word. I would have loved to have been there to hear the Lord Jesus preach. I've heard a lot of good preachers, amen. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. But I would love to hear the Lord Jesus preach. Amen. I would have liked to have been right there. I would have hung on every single word, amen. I believe that's the way you and I ought to. Even though we're not in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ physically, I believe if a man of God stands up and he preaches the Word of God, you ought to listen to it as if God were speaking to you, because that is exactly what is happening.
Amen.
Amen. I believe they'll be preaching when Jesus is in the house. I believe, number one, that preaching ought to be preeminent among worship activities.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't read anywhere in my Bible where it says there was singing there. You all read that? Huh? It says in verse number 2, and straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and so they had a singing. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. Amen. It said he preached the word unto them. I don't recall any singing there. Now, I believe good singing is fine. Amen. I believe good music is fine. Amen. I believe that singing and sermons, I believe they go together. I believe that the song service will enhance the worship service. Somebody said, and they well said, a little bit of good singing will make up for a whole lot of bad preaching. Amen. And so we need some good singing. We appreciate all the good singing we heard this morning. We appreciate the kids singing. Amen. But I believe what ought to be preeminent when you have a worship meeting is the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
It ought to be number one. It ought to be central. I believe I believe nothing is better than good old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen. That is why people come to the house of God. Amen. I'm not saying you ought to not have singings or anything like that, but I'm talking about when you meet for the purpose of worship, whether you have singing or whether you have praying and you have giving, there's all kinds of things you can do as worship. Amen. You can stand up and give a testimony. That's worship. Amen. When you give your offering, that is worship. When you pray, if you'll pray right, that is worship. You can raise a hand. You can shout hallelujah. That's worship. Amen. But I believe that we've come to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
You have these folks that don't like the Bible very much. They don't love the gospel. And what they do is they'll go on Saturday night to a gospel singing. They'll stay out late on Saturday night and they'll sleep in on Sunday. Amen. They said they have church on Saturday. They must be Catholics. Amen. I believe that they'll be preaching when Jesus is in the house. I believe preaching ought to be preeminent. I believe preaching ought to be powerful. Say amen. I believe preaching ought to be forceful. I believe that preaching ought to do something in the hearts and the lives of people. I don't know exactly where Melanie and I used to sit when we were members at this church. If you see the back, maybe where this guy is in the black shirt right behind him. What's your name? Phil? All right, look different. I don't know where we used to sit, but I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching. I mean, He dealt with me for a long time. I fought it. I ran from it. I can remember one time I was working with Uncle Ned, and I was out there. I don't know where we were, White Cypress Lake somewhere. We were standing in a bunch of water working, and I think Bobby had me cutting a piece of wood or something. And I thought to myself, you know, Lord, if I died right now, what would be the first thing that I said? And I said, Lord, I'll preach. And I said, you idiot. Why don't you just surrender to preach? And I'd fight it, and I'd fight it, and I'd sit right there. And I remember Brother Bill Riddick, he'd preach every week, just like Brother Bill preaches. Amen. I don't know what it was, but I think for several months there, I believe the Lord was speaking right to me. Brother Bill would get done preaching, I'd walk up to him and talk to him. He'd say, I got you right between the eyes, didn't I? I'd say, yes, sir, you did. Every week he'd be preaching right to me. The Lord was speaking right to me. Can you say amen? I believe preaching ought to be powerful. It ought to be cutting. It ought to be convicting. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe that preaching ought to be correcting. I believe it ought to be cleansing. I believe that every sermon ought to make people sad, mad, or glad.
Amen.
Amen. I believe if you're not right with God, you ought to get sad and then get right and you'll be glad. You say, well, Brother Eddie, I don't like that. Well, I'm not preaching for your life. You say, well, that rubs me the wrong way. If you just turn that cat around, you'll stroke it right and you can get right and you can go from mad to glad. Amen. I believe it's preaching that saves people. It's preaching that sanctifies people. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that when Jesus is in the house, I believe that there will be preaching. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus, He came in the house. The Word spread. Many people gathered and He preached the Word unto them. Do you know, many people can gather crowds. There's all sorts of things we can do. I mean, if you go around to some of these newfangled so-called churches today, they're popping up all over the place. They call themselves churches. We got one over in Ocean Springs. It's called Mosaic. I don't know what it is. They started in a skating rink. They're not Baptists, and you know, they're not Pentecostal. They're not Methodist.
They don't believe anything. They don't stand for anything. They fall for everything. Amen. They'll send out flyers and they'll say, you know, if you want to go to the islands on Sunday morning, you want to sleep late on Sunday morning, then you can come to church on Saturday. We'll have church on Saturday. Amen. And they got all that hype and that fluff and all that different kind of music that they have these days. Can you say amen? You know, rock and roll music. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then, you know, their little preacher, he'll stand up and he'll have his dress shirt on and it'll be unbuttoned like that. He won't have a suit jacket on and he'll have those jeans with the holes in it and he'll be wearing his flip-flops and he'll preach, you know, some little old sissy-fied preacher and he'll preach some little old sermonette. That's what kind of church people want today, amen. Huh? But I mean, if you have the right kind of music, I had to preach a funeral not long ago in a Pentecostal church. I mean a sure enough Pentecostal church. They had a disco ball hanging from the middle of the ceiling, amen. And the pastor, when I was talking to him before the funeral, he began to tell me about how their music is so great and how they have these plays and they have all this kind of stuff that has nothing to do at all with worship. And that's what people like today. Amen. Listen, I believe if Brother Willie, he kind of, you know, get one of them haircuts and get his hair sticking straight up, maybe put an earring in his ear, and you know, if he change his Bible, get one of them perversions of the Bible, and if y'all get some rock and roll music in here, I believe you could probably get a crowd. You would. You'd pack it out. Huh? There's something wrong with that, amen? I mean, anybody can gather a crowd. Weirdos can gather a crowd. You can get a juggler out there and you'll get a crowd, amen? You know, you have artists, you have athletes, actors can draw a crowd, politicians can draw a crowd, you know, all types of different people, musicians, but the question is, to what purpose? The world uses those kind of things and uses those kind of people to draw people to ball games and to bar rooms. Jesus draws crowds, but to what purpose? That is to preach the word unto them. Amen. So people will get saved. And so saved people will get right. I want you to notice number four. When Jesus is in the house, not only will there be publicity, not only will there be people, not only will there be preaching, but I believe there will be partnership. I want you to notice with me, if you would, in verse number 3. The Bible says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four men brought one man. Amen? You had four men bringing one man. Not just one man. It's not just one man's job to bring people. Can you say amen? I believe that it takes a church. You say, well, who are those four men? The Bible doesn't name those four men. Because again, it's not about you and I. It's about the Lord Jesus. It's about what you and I can do to get people to Him. Amen? And so there'll be partnership. And then I want you to notice something else. When Jesus is in the house, there'll be problems. You might think, well, if Jesus was here, if we always felt His presence, we wouldn't have any problems. You'll have more problems when Jesus is in the house. Do you realize that it's not easy to get to Jesus? It's a hard thing. I'm talking saved people. It's hard. God's people, it's hard to get to Jesus. When you want to get to Him in prayer, all kinds of distractions will come up. Amen? All sorts of things will start happening in your life. It's even harder when you try to get somebody else to Jesus. All hell will break loose. If you try to go out and you try to win somebody, or you just go out in general to win souls, first thing it's going to do is it's going to start pouring down rain. Amen? I mean, look at it. Rain this morning. Trying to give people an excuse. People don't need excuses anymore. They just find reasons. Amen. You know, it's raining. They believe in full immersion baptism, but they don't want to get a little sprinkle when they get out. Amen. Listen, all sorts of things will happen when you try to win souls. You'll go up to somebody's house and they'll, you know, they won't be home. You might lock your keys in the car. You might have a flat tire. The devil will try to discourage you when you try to get people to the Lord Jesus. He'll try to discourage you when you get people to the Lord Jesus. Amen? Listen, I remember when my mother got saved. My mother died just a few years ago. She was 67 years old. But I prayed for my mother for 20 years before she got saved. She was raised a Catholic, but she died a saved, born-again Baptist. Can you say amen? One day, my mother called me from Florida. She said, "Hey, I've been going to a Baptist church." And she started talking to me, and she says, she started talking to me about being under conviction. She said, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like when the preacher gave the invitation, I need to go. I feel like I need to get saved. I got so excited and I got so nervous, I couldn't try to witness to her over the phone. I said, "Mom, what you need to do is you need to get back to church as soon as you can. And you need to talk to that preacher. As soon as you walk in that door, I want you to talk to that preacher." And she told me the name of the church, told me the name of the preacher, and she said, "I'll do it." She said, "I'll do it. I'll go on Wednesday night. That'll be the first thing I do." She said, "I know the Lord's been dealing with me." She was crying on the phone, and I just knew the Lord was dealing with her. And I said, "Now, wait a minute, Mom, before you go, I want to let you know. Everything in the world is going to go wrong to try to keep you from going to church on Wednesday night." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You just watch it." I said, "No matter what happens, you get to that church. You talk to Pastor Dale. You tell him you want to get saved. And don't let anything stop you." And we went to church that night. And I got home and I waited for a phone call. And she called me up and she said, "Hey, I got saved tonight." Can you say amen? After 20 years of praying, she got saved. And she said, "You know what? You were right." She said, "When I got out of work, I had such a bad headache, I didn't want to go." She said, "It started raining." She said, I didn't want to go." She said, "I made all sorts of excuses up. I didn't want to get to that church." She said, "But something inside me drove me and moved me." And she went there and she got saved. Can you say amen? Listen, there'll be all kind of problems when Jesus is in the house. I believe that there'll be difficulties for those who need the Lord Jesus the most. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." Here are these four men. I don't know, like we said, we don't know their names. Maybe one of their names was Mr. Compassion. Amen. You got to have compassion to get somebody to Jesus. Maybe another man's name was, you know, Mr. Carefulness. You know, you got to be careful with your words and careful with your walk. You don't want to ruin your testimony if you want to get somebody to Jesus. Can you say amen? Maybe another man's name was Mr. Cooperation. You and I got to work together to get people to Jesus. Amen. And then another one was Mr. We don't know what his name was. Amen. We don't know what their four names were. But they got this man that they said, "You know what, Mr. Sick of the Palsy, if we can get you to Jesus, I believe he can heal you." He said, "All right, I'm willing to go. I believe that. I heard the story too. We hear he's in town, and so we're going to try to get you to Jesus." And they get to the house, and they can't even get to the door. Amen? Difficult. One of the men says, "Well, we might as well go home." The other man, Mr. Consistency, said, "No." He said, "Maybe we ought to try another way. Let's go around by the windows." And so they go around the house. They go to all the windows. They can't get to him. They're trying to get in. They're saying, "Excuse me. You know, we need to get to Jesus. Got a sick man here. Somebody needs to get healed." And they're all looking at him funny. They're all shoving him back out of the way. And they say, "Well, there ain't no use. We're just discouraged. We can't get in. He's right in there and we need to get to him." I believe that he's always closer than what we realize. Amen. But it's difficult to get to him. Somebody, Mr. Consistency, says, "You know what? Look around yonder. There's a staircase going up to the top of the house." I believe if we'll walk up that staircase and get on the roof, maybe somehow we can find a way in up there. And they get in there, they find the roof, that there's no doorway, there's, you know, no hole, there's no opening. They say, what are we going to do now? He said, let's just tear the roof up. Amen. Huh? Do you realize that things don't always go to plan? I don't know about you, but when at our church, I sort of lay out the services how I believe I want them to go. I like to start things off. We don't have any singing or anything like that. I'll walk into the pulpit, I'll welcome, I'll, you know, give announcements, things like that. Our choir will come in and they'll wait on me. But every now and then, things don't go to plan. Something will happen. An air conditioner will go out. Somebody will run up to me and they'll say there's a light bulb out outside. They'll let me know there's a commode over, running over. I'm not just the pastor. I'm the administrator. I'm the janitor. Say amen. That's the way it is. That's not the way it ought to be, but that's the way it is. And then every now and then what will happen is the Holy Ghost, he'll break in and he'll just tear up my neat little plans and programs. Can you say amen? Now I want you to notice, I believe it's mostly people that prevent other people from getting to Jesus. It says they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now the press, you and I think about the media, but what it means is they were pressed in that building together. They were squeezed in there like sardines. People were hindering these other men from getting this man to the Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? I believe people always get in the way of other people. I believe inappropriate language gets in the way of sinners from getting to the Lord Jesus. I believe that ill-mannered actions will get in the way of sinners getting to Jesus. I believe insufficient compassion, inadequate devotion, illegitimate believers will get in the way of people getting to Christ. You know what I believe, Brother Donnie? I believe that lost church members are a plague. I believe that lost church members have run off more people than any other one thing.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. I believe that inconsiderate people, they hinder people. You know what I mean by that? I told this story not long ago. Where were you at when you surrendered to preach? What church? When I first surrendered to preach, we preached all over the place. One night we got an invitation from Brother John Moore to go preach. Melanie and I walked in. We sat down. Somebody jumped up and said, "Hey, you can't sit there, let somebody see." We jumped up. We were so scared we didn't know. We're like, where do we sit? So we learned, you got to sit either in the front seat or the very back seat, amen. Even to this day, if I walk into a brand new church, I'm careful where I sit. I'll say, is this seat taken? That's just inconsiderate. I mean, that'll shame a visitor, amen. That'll shame a lost person. I went into God's house. I went into among God's people, and somebody told me I couldn't sit there. That was their seat. I didn't know there were any assigned seats. I'll tell you what I thought about doing one week, while everybody was gone away from the church and pulling all the pews out of the church. When they come in, everybody can just stand or sit on the floor, bless God. Amen. I think what y'all to do is y'all kind of swap up every now and then. But you understand what I'm saying. It's people that get in the way of other people. There'll be difficulties. There'll be discouragement. There'll be disturbances. I kind of get the picture, the Lord, he's sitting there or he's standing there and he's preaching the word and everybody's cram-packed. And here those men are, they're up on top of the roof and they're determined to get to the Lord Jesus. And then somebody says, what's that noise? I believe it's coming from the roof. And I mean, dust is coming down and wood and shingles and all kind of things are hitting the floor. And everybody's going, what in the world is going on? The roof's caving in. Somebody says, no, it's caving out. And they're letting somebody in. Can you say amen? I believe what the Lord needs to do every now and then is He needs to tear up our traditions, tear up our plans, tear up our programs, so we can get people in the house of God. Can you say amen? I believe there'll be problems when Jesus is in the house. But I want you to notice a couple other things down through verse number 5. When Jesus is in the house, not only will there be publicity, not only will there be people and preaching and partnership and problems, but number 5, there will be pardon. Pardon. See, that's what sinners need.
Amen.
Notice what it says. It says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed where in the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith." Now, I believe what you ought to do is, if you know somebody that's lost, is you ought to constantly pray for them. You ought to never give up on them, because they might get saved because of your faith. I believe that I got saved on behalf of my mother-in-law's faith. Amen. I believe she prayed for me. I believe that I got saved on behalf of Uncle Mac's faith. Amen. Because he witnessed to me and he talked to me. And I believe he prayed for me. And I feel certain there are others that were here, that are here today, that prayed for me. I believe Jesus saw their faith and he dealt with that sinner. Amen. You and I should always have faith that he'll heal or save some sinner. Amen. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Man is under the penalty of sin. But whenever Jesus is present and faith is exercised, there is always the potential for soul salvation. Now here's a man that was sick of the palsy. Here's a man that was crippled. He wanted to be healed of his disease. He was paralyzed. We don't know if he was just paralyzed from waist down or if he was, you know, paralyzed in all of his limbs. But what we understand is a man that he was a cripple. He couldn't do anything for himself. He had to be carried everywhere he went. He needed to get to Jesus, but he couldn't get there on his own. Amen. Sinners cannot get to Jesus on their own. Sinners are crippled spiritually, just like the sick of the palsy is. They can be rich. They can have all the riches in the world. But on the inside, they're spiritually crippled. They can't get to Jesus. They can't get to heaven. They need somebody to bring them there. They need you and I to bring them to Jesus. They need Jesus to get to heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus turns around. He sees the man. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He didn't deal with the man's palsy at first. He dealt with his pardon. That's the most important thing in the world for anyone, is to deal with their soul salvation. Can you say amen? I have to say, let me give you something negative. I want you to notice in verses 6 and 7, I want you to notice when Jesus is in the house, now we said there'll be problems, but there'll also be phonies. Whenever Jesus is present, the fakes will come out, the frauds will come out, the phonies, the false believers, the false prophets, they'll come out. You might say, well, why in the world were they here? The Bible tells us in verse 6, there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God?" Now they were right. Only God can forgive sins. But they were wrong because they didn't know who Jesus was. I mean, think about it. Jesus immediately perceived what they were thinking within themselves in their heart. He knows every thought right here today. He knows that you're sitting there thinking, "I wish this preacher would shut up. I'm getting hungry." Amen. He knows that you're thinking, "I wish this preacher would hurry up. I want to get home in time for the Saints game." You're not going to get home in time for the Saints game unless you leave as soon as we get done. Amen. He knows our thoughts. He knows if they're distracted, if they're somewhere else. These men didn't even have the strength and the courage to speak out loud. They only spoke in themselves. You better be careful what you're thinking. because he knows your very thought.
Amen.
And they, you know, they said, who is this man? Who does he think he is? The only one that can forgive sins is God. I believe that these kind of people, they come out because they want to cause a contention between God's people. They come out to criticize. They're on a fault-finding mission. Here are these religious bigots. They were religious Pharisees and scribes, and they were sitting there criticizing the man of God. They'll always question the man of God. Who does he think he is? He's not any better than I am. Amen? Now I'll tell you something. I don't think about who I am. I know exactly who I am. I may not be better. I'm just as human as anybody else. But I know that I'm called of God. And that makes a difference. Amen? They'll criticize not only the man, but they'll criticize the message. Who does he think he is? You know, who can forgive sin? Who's this man to judge me? I don't presume upon anybody. That's the Lord's job. Amen? He knows. You know your condition. He knows your condition. They criticize the man. They criticize the message. They criticize the miracles. A man got saved. The man had his sins forgiven, and they could not even be thankful. You always have those fakes, those phonies that come to the house of God. Brother Willie, they'll stand up and they'll say, it'll take a miracle to turn this church around. It'll take a miracle for if so-and-so gets saved. And when it happens, they still don't believe. Amen, right? I mean, you mark those people. You listen to those people and understand there's something missing in their hearts. And so I'll give you two more things and I'll close very quickly. When Jesus is in the house, there'll be publicity. There'll be people in preaching. There'll be problems in partnership. There'll be phonies. There'll be pardon. And there will also be power. The power of God will be manifested when Jesus is in the house. Listen, it was already manifested when he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven. There's no power on earth that can forgive of sins. Amen? But see, they doubted. I mean, all they heard was words. What they needed to see was some action, even though they still didn't believe it. And there's a lot of people like that in the day that you and I live in. They don't believe the words. You go home, you say, you know what, I got saved today. But they don't believe it until they see the action. Notice what the Bible says in verse 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? He says, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? He said, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And then I like the next two words. And immediately he arose. I mean, automatically, that man jumped up. I believe when the Lord deals with you, I believe there's an immediate change. A visible change.
Amen.
I believe the Lord today still has power to forgive. And He still has power to fix up. I believe that He can stand you up. Can you say amen? I believe that He can cause you to step out. I believe that He can convert you and change you today. One other thing. We'll close. Notice verse 12. And immediately He arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, I want you to notice something. What happened in this? I mean, it was all sorts of disruption. There was a large crowd. Jesus saved this man. Jesus healed this man. I mean, the fakes, the phonies, you know, they got put down. Can you say amen? And the whole crowd, what they did is they started glorifying God. I mean, they were awestruck. They began to worship God. They understood who did the work. They understood who was working, who was standing before them. I believe that you and I ought to leave every service and say, you know what? We never saw it on this fashion. Amen? If we get Jesus in the house, we'd be able to do that. Something else struck me about this story. Of all the people there that needed this help, only one went away forgiven. Only one went away healed. There's something wrong with that. When Jesus is in the house, I'll ask you if you would to bow your heads, close your eyes. The musicians come, the pastor comes. If it's your desire to see this church blessed and see Jesus in the house, I would ask you if you would right now. Get out of your pew. Come to these altar benches. Come to the front pews and pray for your church right now. How many of you desire revival? How many of you want to see Jesus in the house? Why don't you come? Come on. Come pray for your church. Come pray for revival. Come pray for the presence of an Almighty God. Come pray for His power. Jesus must be in the house. He must be in the house. If you're here today, you've never been saved. The most important thing for you is to get Jesus in your heart. Then you can get Him in your house. Then you can bring Him to the house of God with you. Can you say amen? Anybody here never been saved, never been born again? If you die right now, you'd go to a devil's hell. If there's anyone here like that, you need to step out of your pew. Come talk to this pastor as the pianist begins to play. Come talk to this pastor. Say, preacher, I need to get saved. Anybody here like that, don't put it off. If Jesus is dealing with you, He's here and He has power right now to save your soul. Anyone need to come? Anybody need to come? Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that You'll bless Your word, bless the message, bless these people. Appreciate their attention, their attendance. Lord, I pray that You'll have Your will and Your way with us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Willie.
You know Christ is your Savior. You know what it means to be forgiven. There is absolutely